This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, following the State of the Union message by President Biden, speaking to Ukraine and speaking to domestic matters, especially the disappointment of Build Back Better in the last session of Congress. However, I'm bringing on two guests tonight to address the Ukraine part of the speech tonight, both very involved people in foreign affairs these last years. Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens & Company, Stevens Incorporated. However, she was formerly the senior advisor to the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, and traveled the world widely, including dealing with the Russian Federation that is now the predator in Ukraine. Also bringing on Paul Gregory of the Hoover Institution, who has long been my guide on the depredation visited upon the people of Eastern Europe by the Russian Federation, and now the complete fragmentation of Ukraine leading to what appears to be the basis of a war in Europe that is restarting. The Cold War is restarting, or they'll come up with a new name for it. Mary, I start with you because we've not had a chance to talk since the sneak attack in Ukraine last Thursday. There was first that little component of reinvesting Donetsk and Luhansk, the shriveled little statelets on the east of the Ukrainian border, but then the invasion. What was your first thought, Mary, Thursday morning, and how do you measure the combat now, given the violence that's being visited on the big cities of Ukraine? Good evening to you, Mary.
Good evening, John, and good evening, Paul. Well, I think it's clear that Vladimir Putin has gone all in here on Ukraine. He's just simply continuing to escalate. The United States and our allies in Europe are escalating sanctions as well, but simply not at the same speed or the seriousness with which Putin is pressing ahead. That being said, as the president said tonight in the State of the Union, the Russians seem to have miscalculated and underestimated the kind of resistance that they would face. But if you want to understand how Vladimir Putin goes into territories that he wants, you simply have to look back at the photographs of the way that the Russians went into Grozny in Chechnya in the 90s. It's just complete devastation, and we're starting to see that level of brutality in Ukraine, and I would expect that to continue. President Biden tonight said some very stirring words, and of course, you know, the stance that the Ukrainians are taking is very stirring and is very brave. But there was a bit of unreality to what he said, you know, characterizing that, you know,
Mary, did I lose you? Paul, are you still there?
I'm here.
All right. Mary dropped out momentarily, so I'll turn to you. But when she rejoins us, she can finish her thought. Paul, you and I discussed in these last days that the violence in Ukraine has to be countered long-term. And long-term means that European dependence on Russian energy must end. Is that imaginable in our lifetime, Paul? Is Europe ready to do that, and how can they do it?
One way to do it is to make sure that there are alternative sources of supply. And also, if you look at the sanctions that have been imposed, the one exception happens to be European purchases of Russian oil and gas. So although virtually everything else is sanctioned, Russian oil and gas sales are not. So Putin will get paid by Germany and other countries, and that is his lifeline to hard currency. The best way to deal with that is to have the U.S. return to drill, baby, drill, to go back to the levels of output we were producing and the amount we were exporting, to present an alternative market partner for Europe. It's noteworthy in Chancellor Scholz's speech that Germany is building LNG terminals. So the best thing we can do is to return to a pro-energy policy. this is what I was waiting to hear from President Biden, and I did not hear one word on that subject.
Paul, because the energy dependence is dominating in Europe right now, I saw Mario Draghi, the Prime Minister of Italy, this afternoon said, we're going to diversify, but they've waited this long and Ukraine is burning. So is there anything that immediately can be done? For example, embargoing. It's suggested that the one part of the Russian economy that Putin is still making money on is energy. Can we shut that off?
Well, releasing oil from strategic reserves that cover a few days of consumption is not the answer, and that was the answer in the Biden speech. There is one thing that will happen immediately and will be extremely valuable, and that is if Biden had announced a full-fledged mobilization effort to go back to producing energy, the price of oil in international markets would fall precipitously. It's like 105 in Asia right now. So we, with a serious effort to go back to drilling and transporting and building LNG terminals, etc., there'd be an immediate payoff in that Vladimir Putin's budget would shrink, and it would shrink by the amount of decline in the oil price.
And because Europe is so vulnerable, and because they can see that, Paul, is this contest with Russia futile? Are the Ukrainians resisting because the Germans and the French and others did not seriously look at their energy needs before they became, pioneers in renewables?
Well, remember, if we go back to the infamous Nord Stream 2 pipeline, only Germany, which was to be the beneficiary of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline in the form of lower gas prices, only Germany was in favor. The rest of Europe protested, saying, you're putting us into a trap. You're going to become more dependent upon Russia. We are going to become more dependent on Russia. So the rest of Europe warned Germany, and Germany did not pay attention until Chancellor Scholz's speech of, I think, February 24.
Well, I think we're lucky enough to have Mary Kissel return. Mary, I'm sorry you were interrupted in your remarks about the president's speech tonight and what needs to be done. Welcome back. Please continue.
Yeah, I probably talked for too long. Sorry about that. There are just a few basic takeaways for me. This speech, stirred the emotion on the Ukrainian people, but it didn't really outline this kind of serious measures it would take to really stop Putin's march forward. I thought it was very strange that there was scant mention of the threat from communist China. The administration's in the middle of negotiating an appeasement arrangement with the Islamic Republic of Iran that will endanger the nations of the Gulf and our friends in Saudi Arabia. No real mention of the terror threat, which is resurgent. It was a speech that, felt like it was written in 2008. Unfortunately, it's not 2008. It's 2022. And the threats are far more significant, widely geographically spread and more virulent. And I just thought it unfortunately didn't really meet the moment.
The president was clear that no American troops are going to get involved, and then there are a lot of caveats here on Ukrainian soil. And Mary, do you measure that the United States will watch Ukraine fall under the boot of the aggressor? Will watch that on TV and tolerate it?
Well, look, there's a lot that's unknown right now. The Russians are having problems with supplying their troops. They'll probably figure that out, but they have run into difficulty. We don't know how pressured Putin feels at home or what he might do to accelerate the war. But on the U.S. and the European side, I would say to measure their seriousness, you have to look at whether or not they're going to completely cut off Russian energy supplies, immediately cut off Putin and his cronies' access to bank accounts. Instead, we gave him a 30-day grace period. And are we really going to arm the Ukrainians to the teeth at this late hour? That's really what's going to matter.
Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated. Paul Gregory of the Hoover Institution, following the President's State of the Union message, stirring about the Ukrainians. I'm John Batchelor.